The scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 6th verse. I've told you these things to prepare you for the rough times ahead. They are going to throw you out of meeting places. There will even come a time when anyone who kills you will think they're doing God a favor. They will do these things because they never really understood the Creator. I have told you these things so that when the time comes and they start in on you, you will be well warned and ready for them. I didn't tell you this earlier because I was with you every day. But now I am on my way to the one who sent me. Not one of you has asked, where are you going? Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you've become. So let me say this again. This truth. It is better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the Comforter won't come. But if I go, I will send the Comforter to you. And when the Comforter comes, the Comforter will expose the errors of the godless world view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Comforter show them their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin, that righteousness comes from above where I am with the Creator, out of their sight and control. That judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the Comforter, or in this translation it says friend, which is cool, comes, the Spirit of Truth, that Comforter will take you by the hand and guide you into all truth there is. The Comforter won't draw attention to themselves, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed, out of all that I have done and said. The Comforter will honor me. The Comforter will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything that the Creator has is also mine. That is why I have said, God takes from me and delivers to you. Now, happy birthday. Amen? Mm-hmm. It is Pentecost Sunday. It is the birthday of the church. And you know, I could tell you, it's pretty obvious if you hung around us for any length of time. The one thing that we can't say is that we don't have a Pentecostal worship. Amen? We just don't. But that doesn't mean that we can't celebrate. It also doesn't mean that this church is not filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, is because we get the story from Acts. Did you all read the story in Acts about how the church started? You know, there were flames and tongues of fire and all of those kinds of things, people talking in different languages. And then, of course, there was the whole giving of the spiritual gifts that comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's become, over the years in traditional church, it's become a big deal. As a matter of fact, some people have decided that you're not a good enough Christian if you can't show one of those gifts, or if you don't speak in tongues, or etc., etc., etc. Okay, so for those people out there to think that that is crazy stuff, that it's just weird kind of religion, I'm here to tell you this morning it's not. It is how God speaks to folks. For every person that there is in the universe, God has a different way of talking. Amen? Now, I remember years and years and years ago when the original Star Trek was on. Y'all remember that with James Kirk and who was the guy that played Kirk? Shatner, right?
Yeah, William Shatner.
Right. Okay. And you know that Gene Roddenberry, the person who wrote Star Trek, was a born-again Christian. And he had a very, very deep faith. And so as you watch those shows, you see Roddenberry's theology in these shows all the way through. And it's maintained even after he died in those stories. So here is back, I think it was, okay, but if I'm here, I'm sorry. If You're I'm seven. Here, I can't see them. Can we do something different? Anyway, welcome.
Lower the camera?
Yeah. Where was I? Oh, Roddenberry. Okay, so in this particular show, there are a couple of aliens that have the ability to control things with their minds. They capture the Enterprise. They hold it hostage. They make the temperature go up and down, and they do all that stuff. And, of course, back in those days, and that the way that show was written, the aliens always appear as like a Roman god and goddess, right? There's a male and a female. And you know who was interested in the female, right? Shatner, Captain Kirk, right? So that's the way they played it off. They look like a Roman god and goddess. And we get through all the way through the show, and we discover that they were really, in real life, according to the show, just these tiny little, ugly little bluebirds. And, okay, see, my husband watches, so he knows what they're called. But anyway, Shatner stands over the top of him in his role as Captain Kirk and goes, "Why didn't you tell us who you really are?" Right? And they raise back up into human form, and here it comes. Are you ready for it? "We appeared to you humans as you would understand us. I want you to know that that day I met the Holy Spirit. And I realized in that moment what the Holy Spirit was all about. When Jesus refers to it in the scripture reading today as the Comforter, and that things were about to get bad, he knew that if we were going to be in relationship with God, that things were going to be tough. That there were going to be countless things that went on that we didn't understand. Or at worst, we would think that God somehow had abandoned us. But it's in this Comforter that we get to realize, folks, that we do, in fact, belong to God. That God is right there with us. You know, sometimes we what is that phrase? God be with you? And sometimes I say we say that a little lightly. I think that we ought to be serious about that, to recognize that that is why the church grew. That is why the Spirit arrived the way that it did. Back at that time, it needed to be dramatic. But drama has its place. Quietness has its place. I remember Deb, when she was here, one of the first things you said to me was that your ability to get with God was in the quiet of the woods, to be out in the woods and to be able to share in those moments. The woods is full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I know for a fact, as I have gone through life, that the Holy Spirit works. It doesn't work the same way that it works with Deb. It doesn't work the same way that it works with Alice. But it works. How about this? How about the fact that we're out in the park? Do you not know that that was a move of the Holy Spirit? Y'all have heard that story, right? With Father Warren, at the time we were at that church up there, and the office that we had happened to look out in the park. And one of the things that this church had been praying about for the longest time was that we could get a traditional time slot for a church at 10:30. Because it really felt like doing church at 6 o'clock, we were what? We were kind of at the back of the bus. We were kind of having to let everybody else do their thing before we did ours. And so we started praying about finding a place that would allow us for an 11 o'clock service, or at least a morning service. All right? So that prayer starts. Now, I got to tell you, Father Warren did not know about that because he hadn't started coming yet. But within a few weeks of us offering that prayer, Father Warren shows up and he gets involved with the church. And we're standing up in my office one day, and he starts telling me about a friend of his who lives down in Florida. who went to the state parks every Sunday and started, are you ready? Started preaching to the squirrels, you know, and to the palm trees, amen? And pretty soon, while he was preaching to the squirrels and the palm trees, people walking by would stop and listen to him. And before you know it, within about 6 months of him going out to the state park and preaching, all of a sudden they had 150 people coming to church on Sundays. And it was within 6 months of that they had a building. Now, Father Warren, you gotta appreciate the way he handled things. But he was standing in my office, he tells me that story, and he looks out the window to this park, and he says to me, "Huh, that's a nice park." Walked out of my office. And I was like, you got to be kidding me, right? He's pulling my chain. So I decided to pray about it and ask God to give me some direction. We were having Bible study at that time, and it was in the summer, July, I guess, something like that. And we were studying Hebrews. Now, I got to tell you, there is no more of a boring Bible study than Hebrews. It just is.
Okay, we won't do that next.
No, we're not, no. It's very boring. And the only thing that I can think that'd be more boring than Hebrews is studying Numbers in the Old Testament. Because why? Numbers is named what it is. Why? Because it's all a bunch of numbers. But anyway, I had decided that if this, I was going to tell the church about the possibility of moving to the park. And my fleece to God was, if this is a good idea, the congregation will get excited. If it's not a good idea, then they're just going to sit there and come up, well, like y'all always do, come up with 1,000 reasons not to do it, right? So we're in this Bible study. It's hot. The air conditioning had gone out. People are bored. They're practically falling asleep in the parlor. And we get to the end of the study, and I said, oh, by the way, I think I know what we could do to get a morning service, and that would be if we went to the park. My God, you would have thought I put a firecracker in the room. People just sat up, and all of a sudden, people are excited. There were 1,000 questions about how we were going to do that. And I was like, okay, God, I get you. That is nothing but the Holy Spirit, amen? Because now the next thing was, of course, we thought we'd hit a stumbling block because I thought we had to reserve space. So I call up the city of Atlanta, and I said, what do we have to do in order to have a church service at the pavilion? And the lady on the other end of the phone gets real quiet for a second, and she goes, well, Pastor, I don't think we can rent you space to have a worship service in a city park. That's a separation of church and state. Amen. You don't think the Holy Spirit works, because the next words that the Holy Spirit gave me at that point was, I said to her, because I am not this good, and I'm not this fast. But I did say to her, well, what if we have a picnic and worship breaks out? Oh, well, you could do that. Amen. Amen. So now you know why we eat. And you know why. And, of course, the other thing we found out is you didn't have to reserve anything. It's first come, first serve, up until you've got about 75 people here. And then you have to reserve it. And, you know, the amazing thing was, as we started worshiping here, people in the neighborhood knew that this service was happening. We could see people on Sunday as they walked by. Sometimes during communion, they would stop and wait, or they would listen to the message. It is how the Holy Spirit works. And the last example I'm going to give you, in case you don't think that it works on a regular basis all the time. 2 weeks ago, I am on my way to Fayetteville. I'm supposed to umpire. I have a game that starts at 9 a.m. in the morning. And as I'm getting down towards, well, I got into Fayetteville, well, actually it was in Riverdale. All of a sudden my car on State Route 85 just stops. You ever had that happen? It was scary, man. I'm driving along and all of a sudden the engine just cut out. And I'm like, oh my. And I put it in park, revved the engine, it started, but it was rough. It bounced a little bit. And it happened to be that I hit every light green until I got into Fayetteville. And when I came to this red light, of course, me having to stop like that did what? It killed the car. So at this light, it's red, kills the car. I got people beeping at me. I try starting it again, and it coughs to life, and I look over to the left, and what's there?
Yes, sir.
Auto repair. So I rolled into the auto repair. I walked in, told the guy what was going on, and the guy looked at me, and he said, well, Reverend, that you did say you were a pastor, right? Because that was what I led with, even though I had my umpire uniform on. I said, I'm a pastor, and I'm doing umpiring, and I got this umpiring gig to do. And he said, well, I can't look at your car until 1 o'clock. And I looked at him and I said, excuse me? I said, this is an emergency. At which point he looked at me and said, they're all emergencies. And I was like, okay, God, you've got to do something. Amen? So I go back out to my car. I am ready now to sit there. I'm thinking about calling my husband to come get me because I think I'm going to have to leave my car there. I have no idea why my car is not starting. And I start making these calls. I call the guy that's responsible for the softball to let him know I'm not going to get there for the games. And can he find a sub? So he starts doing that. He starts making those calls. And then in the meantime, the guy that I originally talked to in the repair shop, he comes walking out and he says, pop your hood and start your car. And I'm like, okay. Now, for those of you who, this is really boring if you don't know anything about cars, but for those of you who know what a manifold hose is, right? Uh-huh. I popped up the hood, started the car. That manifold, there's a piece on it that it broke off. And so now I have a hole in my manifold. And so it was just sucking in way too much air for the engine to run. And the guy looked at me, he goes, well, here's your problem. You got a hole in the manifold. And I went, oh. He says, well, I can order that part. And he says, it'll only take 10 minutes to put it on once I get it. And I said, well, okay, so you're not going to order it till 1 o'clock? He says, no, I can order it now. So he ordered it, and you know, 15 minutes later, I'm ready to go to the game. In the meantime, my scheduler has called me and told me the team that was supposed to play at 9 o'clock didn't show up. So there was no 9 o'clock game. I got to the field at 10 o'clock in time for the 10:30 game. That's the Holy Spirit, folks. That is God working with us. Just so you know, this isn't all about me. Think about this. The Holy Spirit will help you in your sincere concern for a friend and their help. The Holy Spirit is present in those who take a stand against injustice, in the grace of folks who are willing to go the second mile, in the inner resources we discover in the time of crisis. The Holy Spirit is there for those who dare to go against the tide of popular opinion, in the grace that enables us to admit when we're wrong, in the resilience of people who fight for the rights of others. The Holy Spirit is present in those who surrender some of their rights for the larger good. The Holy Spirit is there when we share the gospel in spite of our inadequacy. It is when we find joy in unexpected places. It's taking on responsibilities that we thought was beyond us. The Holy Spirit is always giving thanks, even in the hard times of life. It rises above past failures and puts past hurts behind us. Yes, to those who tell me that you find it hard to forgive, call on the Holy Spirit, and forgiveness will be at your fingertips. The Holy Spirit is present when we know that we are the children of God. It is present in knowing ourselves are loved, even when we feel unlovable. Understand that Pentecost Sunday is about the life that we live and about the life that we lead. You can't get away from it. Amen.